Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of Strength Training for Runners. Strength Training for Runners is the podcast by me, Tim Edgerton, from Foxwood Personal Training in York, all about strength training to make you a faster runner, more injury-free runner, and to help you, I guess, enjoy your running more as well. There's been a little bit of a gap between this particular episode and the previous episode. I think I've essentially missed a week, and the reason why I've missed a week out has been because I've been a little bit busy just getting clients booked back in, actually. So the lockdown regulations have been eased a little bit, and as a result I am now fortunately able to train clients in person again. So as I've mentioned in previous episodes, I have been training some clients online using Zoom, so some remote clients and some more local clients have been coming to me for their kind of their strength training work to facilitate their running. We've been doing it online, remotely, using Zoom as the platform. So they've been in their living rooms, I've been in the garage gym here, the Egg, as I like to call it, Edgerton's Garage Gym. We've been doing a video call and doing strength training work remotely, and it's been working really well. As I say, some of those clients are remotely based, and so we are going to continue doing Zoom sessions for those clients. But for the more locally based clients, I'm now very, very, very happy about the fact that I can train them in person again. So obviously social distancing regulations need to be in place. Should really be in an outdoor space where there's, you know, fresh air, etc. But I'm in a fortunate position where I do have my own training base for training clients in my garage. You know, it's pretty well set up. It's not the complete package yet. There's more to come on that front, but I'm pretty well set up to be training clients there. The gym itself, like I said, it's called the Egg, Edgerton's Garage Gym, but I guess there's a little bit of a rebrand going on right now because it's more a case of Edgerton's Garden Gym. But fortunately, it still works. It still fits the Egg acronym, so all is good on that front. But anyway, it's working. That's also working really well. Fortunately, so far, for the majority of this time, the weather has been pretty good. So it's been really enjoyable getting outside in the sunshine. But sorry to say, but in the last day or two, the weather has taken a turn for the worse. So there's a lot of rain at the moment. I'm hoping that's going to be fairly short-lived, because obviously that's going to make the sessions not quite so enjoyable, but you know, we'll see how it goes on that front. Nonetheless, I'm delighted that I'm back training clients in person. So let's just talk a little bit about my garage gym. Let's talk about the Egg. So the equipment I've got so far, I've got loads of kettlebells, I've got loads of dumbbells, I've got Olympic bars, I've got 300 kilograms worth of Olympic plates, we've got stability bars, we've got ropes. We've got a couple of medicine balls, we've got some thick grips to attach to the bars for grip training for, you know, certain athletes. That would be useful for, I guess, more for the throwers, so the field type athletes rather than runners, but nonetheless, it's equipment we've got available to us. So we've got full coverage of the garage floor rubber matting, and fortunately I do have some additional matting for the outside space as well, so that enables us to have good flexibility in terms of the exercise selections we can use. And we've got an Olympic bench, and there's more to come. So in terms of the vision that I guess I've got for the garage gym here in York, I want it, essentially, my vision is it for it to be the ultimate training place for runners to come and do their strength and conditioning work in York. I want this to be the place where runners in York, for it to be the only logical choice for them to come and train. So in terms of some of the key exercises that I would utilize for runners, I guess some of my go-to exercises are things like Bulgarian split squats, hip thrusts, Romanian deadlifts. So we're fairly well equipped with the bench and the Olympic bars and the dumbbells and the kettlebells to do a lot of that. We use the Olympic bars for our Romanian deadlifts. We've got the dumbbells and the kettlebells and the bench, which will facilitate the Bulgarian split squats. But in terms of future, I guess, purchases, I'm looking to develop, to purchase a hip thruster device as well. So, you know, you can do hip thrusts on a bench, but I'm looking to purchase a specific hip thrust device, which will just essentially make hip thrusts more comfortable and improve the hip thrusting experience, if you like. And that's, for me, that's one of the key exercises for runners, because whenever I'm thinking about exercise selection, it's always, I guess, the key thing, one of the key things you need to think about is the risk to reward. So the risk is essentially the injury risk. We want to minimize the injury risk, and the reward is, I guess, the adaptations that are going to come from an exercise. So you want to select exercises that are going to provide a lot of beneficial adaptations for runners whilst also having a low level of injury risk. Some exercises are awesome on the sort of the reward front. They provide a lot of potential for positive adaptations, but they also are quite high on the risk front. You know, there's quite a bit of potential for injury with them as well. So whilst they're alluring, if you like, you know, we kind of want to use them because of the potential benefits, that there is a downside. There's also plenty of exercises we could choose which are fairly low on the risk front in terms of injury risk, but actually they're not that beneficial either. So then, even though they might be tempting to use because they're not very likely to injure our athletes, injure our runners, they're also, you know, they're not that tempting from the performance benefits front either. So what we want to find is those exercises that have a bit of a sweet spot. They are quite, they offer a fair bit of potential in terms of positive adaptations. Maybe not the absolute highest potential as some of those more endurance exercises, you know, and I'll give you an example here, like depth jumps offer a huge amount of potential in terms of positive adaptations. The amount of force that is produced in a depth jump is very high, so it is quite good for developing just pure strength. But the time frame of the force is very short, so it's very good for developing explosive qualities. And so it is very useful, I guess, for runners in terms of the potential adaptations that you might see, the positive adaptations that can arise from depth jumps in a very short period of time make it a very tempting exercise. But the amount of impact you're dealing with also make it quite a risky exercise. And for me, especially, I guess, with endurance athletes, who are already dealing with an awful lot of impact, I think by and large, the risk to reward kind of trade-off isn't worth it to an awful lot of extent. Maybe you would very judiciously use those kind of exercises from time to time, schedule them in periods where the runner's not doing an awful lot of heavy training on the running front, stuff like that. You know, it is possible to use it very carefully and very judiciously, but you would want to be careful with that. Whereas things like the hip thrust exercise, which we were talking about, you know, that the injury potential with exercises like that is so low. It's such a safe exercise. You know, it doesn't place a lot of stress on the back, there's no impact, and yet it is a great exercise for developing glute strength and developing hip extension strength, which of course we've talked about is key for runners, because if we could, the more hip extension strength, hip and glute strength we can develop, the more that is then going to transfer across into increased glute power and hip power when we perform exercises such as squat jumps, which of course are superb for developing power in runners. Even without any additional load, we can just perform bodyweight squat jumps and they develop a lot of power. So a good stepping stone for developing strength before you move on to the more power related training is exercises such as hip thrusts. So if I can purchase some pieces of equipment for the garage gym that are going to improve the way we can execute that exercise, then that's only going to be a positive thing. So I'm definitely looking at more purchases for the gym going forwards, and I'm getting equipment on a weekly basis at the moment now that I can train clients in person. So in addition to the hip thruster device, if you like, I'm looking at getting a power rack very soon and a cable pulley system, and there's going to be all sorts of pieces of equipment that are going to be added to the mix in the coming weeks and months. So I guess it's pretty exciting times for the Egg, Edgerton's Garage Gym, that is based in Foxwood in York. So if you are a runner in York, that is going to be the place to be. I can assure you it's going to be an awesome training environment. You're going to get great coaching from me, so definitely check it out. But yeah, so that's I guess a little update in terms of where I'm at in the scheme of lockdown at the moment. Things have been eased a little bit. I am now able to train clients in person, and as a result, it's all systems go in terms of developing the Egg, developing that garage gym, so it is the best possible training environment that it can be. In terms of more general aspects of the easing of lockdown, I guess, what are the implications of that for runners in general? Well, tracks are now open, actually, so a lot of athletes are able to train on the track now, although, of course, we're still limited to training in groups of six or less, I believe. We can't meet up in groups of more than six. And as a result, a lot of athletics clubs are limiting track use only to members of that club. So obviously, if you're not a member of an athletics club, that might still not be an option for you at the moment. Or if you train in an area away from where your home athletics club is based, you might struggle as well. So I don't think the access to tracks is universal at the moment, but for some people, that is an option available to them now that wasn't available to them before. And so maybe some people can start thinking about maybe doing a little bit more specific training than they were previously doing. So, you could look at maybe a bit more race pace work, perhaps now, or at least starting to approach race pace work a little bit more, that kind of stuff. Because not only that, but with the easing of lockdown measures over the coming weeks now, it's a possibility that we might start to see races appearing in the calendar relatively soon, possibly. I mean, it's impossible to know for sure now, but it's starting to seem a little bit more likely. So you might be wanting to start to just get in touch with race pace that little bit more. So if you do have an access to the track, it would be well worth maybe venturing down to the track and getting a few track sessions done. Like I say, we don't exactly know where we're at in terms of when races are going to be opening up again. I guess if I was a track runner myself still, if I was still competing on the track as a middle distance runner, I wouldn't be expecting anything much for this season. But I think with the easing of lockdown measures, it looks like maybe there will be a few races. So where my head would be at on this front is a full season is out of the question, but a few races might be on the horizon towards the end of the summer possibly. So I'd probably be gearing up my fitness so I'm ready for maybe some over distance racing. So I wouldn't be too worried about maybe my specialist distance, but I might, it'd be a shame to go a whole summer without racing. So, for example, if I was an 800-meter runner, maybe I'd want to be getting ready for the possibility of doing a few 1500-meter races. Or if I was a 1500-meter runner, maybe I'd be wanting to train so that I was ready to step on the track and race over 3000 meters or 5000 meters. And if you're getting ready for maybe some of that over distance type of work, that's going to feed well into the fact that probably by the time autumn comes around, the racing calendar is hopefully going to be back to normal. And by that time, it's kind of road racing season, isn't it? You've got the 6-12, excuse me, you have the 6-stage relays and the 12 stage, well, not the 12 stage road relays, they tend to come in the spring, but you'll have the 6-stage road relays, you'll have things like the area cross country relays. There'll be plenty of 10K road races on the track, and it will not be long before the cross-country season starts to kick in and things like that. So if you think about maybe just getting ready for an over-distance, if you are a middle-distance runner, if you think about getting ready for an over-distance race, then that might feed nicely into the road race season, and you know, you'd have a bit of a kickstart going into your winter training, I guess. If you are more of a long-distance runner, then I guess I would still probably forget about the summer. Don't worry about it. Just make sure you're getting ready for that autumn road race season. Make it a great season. Make sure you're going to be in great shape for sort of September, October, November, that kind of time when there are a lot of road races going on anyway. So you might be starting to think about putting a longer medium term plan in place starting now that's going to provide a build up towards the autumn. Don't worry about summer racing. There may be a few, there may not be. Doesn't really matter too much. Just build towards the autumn now. That would be where I would be thinking towards right now if I was a competing athlete and looking at the current environment of easing lockdown measures. And I guess, well, what I can do actually is I can give you an example of some of the training I've put together for a client recently. So someone just last week approached me. They're fairly new to running, okay? So they've basically taken up running a bit more since lockdown, and they've been training, they've been getting plenty of runs done, they've been building it up, and this individual he ran a half marathon distance, so he's built in one of his runs, so he's built up a reasonable bit of volume there, but he doesn't really know how to progress it beyond there. So he came to me and said, can I create a program for him? He sent me all his Garmin data, gave me all the information that he could, and based on the information I had, I put a little program together. And I noticed from his Garmin data that he likes to do one of the park run courses quite a lot within his runs. So we decided that we'd put a little plan together that would be geared towards maybe improving his park run time, improving his 5K time. So that was how the plan that I created was tailored. It was to improve his 5K. It was based on the kind of volume that he was doing or he is currently doing, so that we didn't, you know, it suddenly ramp up the volume. It was at a suitable level, and essentially I made it fairly simple, I guess, but I wanted to put three different paces into the program. So we're starting to think about, you know, it may not be too long in the future now that he can do a 5K race or a park run race. So we want to think about the paces we're training at. I don't just wanted a faster than 5K pace session within the program, a slower than 5K pace session within the program, and a session that's around about 5K pace. And every few days or so, there was a harder session and the rest of the training was easier running. So for the faster than race pace session, there were things like 10 times 30 seconds fast, 30 seconds slow running, so a fartlek type session, or sometimes it might be 10 times a minute fast, a minute slow. Or another session that I remember putting in the program was two sets of 10 times 30 seconds fast, 30 seconds slow, with 10 minutes easy running in between those two sets. So using fartlek based training rather than specific set distances for interval training. And the reason for that is because, yes, I want different paces at the moment, but I just think mentally, as much as anything, time-based fartlek sessions are a little bit easier than going for specific distances, you know, running intervals with a specific start and finish point in terms of location, if you like. A specific set distance that you're running is a little bit more mentally taxing from my experience anyway. As a former athlete, I always found I could push a lot harder on those types of sessions. So if we're just thinking about easing back into this slightly more specific way, then a good way, I think, to ease into this type of work is to go more time-based rather than distance-based and use those type of fartlek sessions. So for the more, I guess, race pace type fartlek session, that I had him doing within the program, or that I guess he will be doing within the program as he's just getting started with it now. We were looking at things like 4 minutes fast, 2 minutes slow, repeated around about six times. So those 4 minute fast efforts are going to be done at about 5k pace. So I think a suitable target for this guy is to go at aim for a sub 20 minute 5k or a sub 20 minute park run. And so those 4 minute efforts, you'd be looking at covering about a kilometer, and I suggested he aimed to run at 4 minute kilometer pace. And then obviously we want some longer stuff in as well. And so there was also some like 20, 30 minute time trials, some 1 hour progression runs where every 5 to 10 minutes the average pace just gradually creeps up and up and up, and so that you start the run very, very slow, but by the end of the run, you're going at a very, very fast pace. You know, you're running very hard for the last 5 or 10 minutes. It's just a gradual incremental effort over the course of an hour. Those are great runs to do as well. So there's a bit of a mix in the program, including some fairly specific stuff in terms of the pace that he's running at. We're trying to not overcook things at the moment, and so we're going more fartlek based rather than specific intervals. And I think that's probably a good approach for people at the minute, because you do want to think about working towards more specific training, but you still don't have an exact time scale yet, so it's a judgment call where you strike it. And I think that works well for me in terms of how I approach that. And in terms of those different paces, if that's interesting to you and you want to look into that a little bit more, it's essentially a modification of Frank Horwell's five pace system. Okay, so Frank Horwell is one of the most famous coaches Britain's had in terms of coaching middle distance runners. So he passed away probably, I can't remember now, maybe 5-10 years ago, but he was the founder of the BMC, the British Milers Club, and he's famous for creating this five pace system where you have five specific running paces that you need to cover maybe within a 10-day period. So you could train one pace hard on one particular day, then you can have an easier day of recovery running, then the next day you train a different pace hard, then have an easier day recovery running, etc., etc. And then by the time you've done 10 days of training, you've covered all of these five different paces. So that's the general idea behind this five pace system. Now the middle pace is going to be the race pace for whatever your target race distance is, and then obviously it branches out from there. So let's use the example of a 1500 meter runner, because this system was really devised for middle distance runners. So obviously you're going to do within your 10-day cyclical program, if you like, one of those rate paces that you're training at is going to be 1500 meter race pace. And then you're looking at the other different paces that you're going to be training at are going to be different standard race distance paces, basically. So let's go one down from there and one up from there. You're also going to be having a training session that's at 800 meter race pace and a training session that's at 3000 meter race pace. And then that's obviously only three separate paces. So we need to go down one again, and we need to go up one again. So the final two paces that you're going to be training at are going to be 400 meter race pace, so it's pretty much sprint training, and also 5000 meter race pace. And the idea behind the system is that each pace kind of feeds into each other. You know, all of the shorter paces provide speed for the subsequent slightly slower pace, and all of the longer paces provide endurance for the faster paces underneath those. So all of them feed into each other to create a complete athlete, if you like. And it's a good system. Obviously, you don't stick to that all year round. There needs to be variety within your program. You know, maybe, you know, during the winter months for a middle distance runner, you would focus more on the more extreme ends of that spectrum. You do a bit of sprint training at 400 meter pace, you do plenty of sessions at 5,000 meter pace, and then as you approach the season, you do less of those sessions and more of the paces that are closer to your actual race pace. For example, that would be one way in which you sort of tackle that paradigm. But yeah, I guess what I provided this 5K runner, this program, in terms of what I provided to this runner in the way of a program to improve his 5K time, was a modification of that five pace system. Really, you know, there were it was a three pace system. We put three different paces in there, and there was easy running in between those hard sessions at those three different paces. And of course, there were recommendations for strength training within that program as well, and possibly other forms of cross training. So yeah, that's what I've been up to in the last week or so. I've been getting a load of in-person clients booked in again, which has been great. I've done a training program for this new runner that wants to improve his 5K time. And I've still been doing the Zoom workouts for some of my remote clients. So it's been a little bit busier, really. It's been good, and it's been enjoyable to see the easing in lockdown regulations. So if anything that I've talked about in this episode has been interesting to you and you want to learn a bit more about it, maybe the strength training side of things, you know, the exercises I talked about, the hip thrust, the Romanian deadlifts, the Bulgarian split squats, those kind of stuff. If you want to know more about those exercises, as always, just drop me a message. You can contact me on my website, foxwoodpersonaltraining.co.uk. You can also contact me on Instagram, which is my Instagram handle is just @foxwoodpersonaltraining, and you can find me on Facebook as Foxwood Personal Training as well. So contact me through any of those platforms if you need to know a little bit more about the strength training side of things. If that five-pace system of training is interesting to you and you want to learn a bit more about that, we can chat too. So again, just drop me a message. It'd be good to hear from some of the listeners of the podcast. The number of people listening to it is starting to grow now, which is nice to see. Or if you just want to say hi, you know, let me know that you're listening to the podcast, you're enjoying the podcast, please do that as well. Or if you want to, anyone who wants to support the podcast, I will leave a link to my Ko-fi page, and you can donate the price of a Ko-fi if you want to support the podcast. The suggested donation is £3, so that option is there to anyone who wishes to take it. But other than that, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's been a little bit different. I guess I've talked a little bit more about actual running training this week rather than specifically on strength training. But also, guys, if you've got anything you want me to cover, if you've got a specific question or anything like that, do let me know and I'll try and get that answered within the podcast as well. But apart from that, I'll leave it there and I will see you next time for another episode of Strength Training for Runners. See you later, guys.